Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, all praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is now again a Tuesday morning. The weeks just fly by so fast. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us barakat in our time, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of using our time constructively, whereby we can benefit. As the listeners are aware, on a Tuesday morning between 9 and 10, this is the At-Tajir Hour. In this program, we unpack various business and economics, masail, questions, matters arising, etc. Normally, our guest on this program is Mufti Muhammad Hafiji. Mufti Sahib, alhamdulillah, has done a tremendous job throughout this year in unpacking various business matters. And alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him in abundance. We have learned so much from him. This week, unfortunately, Mufti Sahib had to attend to some other work. So Mufti Sahib will not be available on the program this week. But alhamdulillah, we have managed to secure the time and the services of a very old member of Radio Islam, a person whose voice is very, very, very familiar on the waves of Radio Islam International, and that is none other than Maulana Ahmad Sadaria. Maulana was very, very much involved in this particular program, and alhamdulillah, through the efforts of Maulana, through the kind efforts of Maulana, and the knowledge of Maulana, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that many people have benefited from this program, and many people have learned tremendously on various issues of Islamic finance and Islamic business, inheritance, etc. So alhamdulillah, it gives me great pleasure in announcing that alhamdulillah, Maulana Ahmad Sadaria is back in the studios with us today. We're going to welcome him on the program. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Maulana, it's an honor for me to be back and looking back at the past. Alhamdulillah, as you said, Mufti Sahib has been doing a tremendous job, and people are learning quite a bit from that. And you know, they say it is when we old people are, you know, when old people are gone, the younger generation takes over, they do a better job.
Subhanallah. Maulana, how are you keeping?
Allah's fadl, Allah's karam, we are very well. Allah has blessed us with all His ni'mats.
Ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to shower His ni'mats and good health upon you, inshallah.
Ameen.
Maulana, we will be discussing a very, very important topic today. So, as the listeners are aware, this will not be the normal program. We're not going to have the different segments that we have, but we're going to discuss a very broad topic, and we're making it very, very well known from the start of this of today's discussion that, please, the lines will be open throughout the program for today. That is, the lines will be open. You don't have to only worry about the SMS line, etc. The lines will be open throughout this hour of the program. The number, in case you did forget, is 011-854-1548. Please send in your calls. It doesn't have to be particularly related to the issue that we are discussing. If it is, it's fine. If it is anything related to business, finance, etc., that will also be taken. And if you do feel that you don't want to call but you want to send a message through, then you can do that as well. The number to send your messages through will be the normal SMS number, 083-379-4235. So the numbers again, 011-854-1548 if you want to call through. If you want to send an SMS or a WhatsApp message, then 083-379-4235. The topic that we're discussing today is sustainable financial lifestyle and credit. So we know today the lifestyle that people are living, is it suitable? There's many, many aspects that we need to go through in there. And then obviously taking of credit, taking of loans, etc. We're going to touch a little bit on that. Starting off, Maulana, as I read the topic that we will be discussing, firstly what we would like to take a look at is, firstly, just to unpack the word lifestyle. What do we understand by the word lifestyle?
Jazakallah, Maulana. You know, life is life and a style. So it sums up everything, Maulana. Mm-hmm. That a style of living that reflects the attitude and values of a person or a group. I mean, this is what's the lifestyle. A style of living that reflects the attitude and values of a person or group. In simple terms, Maulana, it is basically a way of life. That's what lifestyle means, a way of life. And people have different types of maintaining their lives. In economic terms, Maulana, as we said, we'll be looking also at financial lifestyle. It is a means of a marketing strategy which the totality of the likes and dislikes of a particular section of the market, especially when expressed in terms of the products and services that they would buy, a marketing strategy based on some image of a person or a group, meaning that in economics now, which is specifically how our lifestyle works today, is that things are being marketed. There is a special type of a strategy which will bring a person or try and make a person to have an image of that person or an image of certain groups of people. And so much of emphasis is being placed on lifestyle that there is a special causes that are doing the marketing strategies so that one can bring about a specific type of a way of living or a specific type of lifestyle. So lifestyle is, in simple terms, Maulana, the way we live. That's what we can look at lifestyle as.
Okay, JazakAllah for that, Mufti Sahib. As you said, the lifestyle, the way we live. Now, Mufti Sahib, obviously what is more related to us is that as Muslims, do we as Muslims have a particular lifestyle?
Well, just to correct you there, I'm not a Mufti, you know, Mufti, you know, the Mufti Afiji is so used to there. We have been taught from a very, very young age, obviously, that we, as Muslims, we do have a very defined or very particular lifestyle that we have. And in simple terms, we are always being told that the difference between a Muslim and a non-Muslim is very, very clear. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says very clearly that there are some kuffar and some are mu'mins. So if that is a differentiation between two groups of people that Allah ta'ala himself has made, then obviously we should have a different lifestyle, a different way of life, because there is a difference that has been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself regarding the two groups of people. So our lifestyle is very, very much based on the Quran and Hadith, there's no doubt about it. And our lifestyle as Muslims, the criterion that always is based on is on simplicity, being as humble and simple most of the times. And therefore, we will then look at how do we obtain our lifestyle, obviously. Then our lifestyle obviously comes from the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously, his lifestyle has been recorded, and from the time we get up in the morning till we go to sleep, every aspect of our lifestyle has been mentioned or has been recorded, or how we have to live our lifestyle on a daily basis. As we mentioned earlier, that it is a way of life. That lifestyle means a way of life, a way of life. And our way of life has to be according to what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us. So Muslims, we have to understand that our lifestyle is completely different or opposite, not necessarily opposite, but different from the lifestyle of others. Whether we look at any religious communities of other sections of the community, or any people that don't even believe in religion, etc., our lifestyle has a specific way of living itself.
As you had very aptly explained, that as Muslims we have a particular lifestyle, and it's obviously going to be different from the lifestyle of the kuffar. That is very, very important. When we look at the life of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then ulama ikram explained to us that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's that one individual in this entire world that every part of his life has been recorded. From the time of the morning when he got up, what he did, how he made his miswak and how he made his wudu and performed his tahajjud salah, etc., to the fajr salah, through the rest of the morning, his afternoon, his night, till at night when he retired and went to bed, till that every part of the beloved lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been recorded, and it has been recorded for our benefit so that we can take lesson from it and we can enact and we can carry out the sunnah, and as we always say, the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can live our life according to the life of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's very important that as Muslims we do have a particular lifestyle, and that is obviously none other than the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is what we need to enact in our lives. So, Mawlana, as we do have a different lifestyle, what are the ways that people maintain their lifestyles? You know, as we know, people have, there are many, many, many lifestyles that people are enacting and carrying out. What are the different ways that people carry this out?
Mawlana, in our daily life, if you look at specifically the importance that people place on lifestyles, I think we can demarcate them into few sections or few ways. One is, unfortunately today with the marketing strategies that go around, regarding the lifestyle with regard to clothing. Every now and then you will see that there is a change of the clothing standards or the lifestyle with regard to clothing. New fashions come about and people are taken or driven to the fact that we have to have the clothing that will now be with current times. And we know fashion is such, Manana, that it changes so often that what is today a fashion, tomorrow now is no more. But unfortunately, I don't know whether it's fortunately, those very fashions that have now changed, that are no more, they come back after 20, 30 years. It's the same thing. Why? Because if there is no change in the lifestyle, say in the clothing, for example, then how are these people going to make the money? As I mentioned earlier, it's a marketing strategy that we have to conclude. And they make certain variations or slight changes, maybe the same thing, but it has to be that there has to be a change. Similarly, you'll see the car market. Exactly what happens that every 2-3 years they will change it. Before what we had and now what we're having, and people will say, but this is the advanced features and this is what we have. So a lifestyle change based on our preferences to the car and how they advertise regarding the car itself and the features that are self. And I can say, Marana, we have been grown to old now, alhamdulillah, wa fadl of Allah. But I mean, even the car market, if you look at those days, the cars itself were so strong enough that even if a slight dent or a bump or something, we still should carry on. But today, just a slight bump from a person, how expensive it costs just to repair those type of things. So a lifestyle change has been made with regard to our car market. Or a lifestyle change or lifestyle or a way of life regarding to our weddings. And maybe there are other categories, but I just want to touch a bit on these few things that regarding that what I have mentioned. Taking the clothing market itself, what has been changed? Now, unfortunately, among the Muslim community that we have to look at it, that clothing is such also that now we have been brainwashed, and especially our youngsters at schools and universities, that there must be a special type of clothing or a special type of dress on each occasion. Now, if, for example, if there is a wedding and we've got 5-6 weddings throughout the year in the family, for each wedding we must have a different type of clothing. Or for Eid, yes, okay, we'll encourage for Eid, but now for Eid itself, we'll have to have new clothing and most expensive regarding what is the current fashion or current trends. Or a type of clothing for difference for a family gathering or a family function. Now, if you look at the financial restraints that come about on a person when they have to buy clothing just to maintain that lifestyle. So, for example, Morana, we'll have to just say, looking at the clothing that we have in our wedding functions, each one try to outdo the other with regard to the different types. Even men folk also do that, and we always criticize the women folk regarding their clothing, their dresses, because if we say use the common term that if Choti sees Gori wearing, for example, a dress, then Choti feels upset that I was supposed to be exclusive in wearing this type of dress, and why is Gori having this type of dress? Not realizing that today in the clothing industry itself, that if you have to go to the normal retailers, they sell one type of dress, and everyone can buy that type of dress. So why do you have to look at the exclusive market? Because the point is that the lifestyle is such that I have to have exclusivity, and that is one of the things that is based on that the clothing itself must be exclusive, only that I am being able to portray myself of having the best type of clothing. But it doesn't come cheap anymore. Mm-hmm. And in order now to maintain that lifestyle on the clothing, then people get involved in taking loans, which we will discuss what is the Sharia aspect regarding that, or getting involved in these credit cards. I remember one person told me that his sister has bought so much of clothing in the credit card now that she cannot pay, just to maintain the lifestyle of the different occasion. Now, on that basis, then there's interest being charged, she cannot pay itself. So, on the clothing itself, whereas if we have to look at our simple, as I said, our lifestyle says simplicity, I don't see anything wrong, Molana. For I know the women folk may not agree with me, or the men may not agree with me. Take a simple thing of the lifestyle of the shoes. That we say that for every new dress or every new clothing that we buy, we must have a different new shoe or different color of shoe.
Matching shoe.
Now, why is it cannot we bring about the simplicity in this sense, that buy a shoe, maybe 2-3 pair of shoes, you know, which will match each type of dress, for example, a black or a brown or the, whatever they say, the type, and not be, I remember there was one woman that had over 300 shoes, in fact it was one of the wives of one of the prime ministers of the world, or one woman told me she's got in the family that she's got 50 or 60 shoes. Every time she goes buy the shoe. Now, is there a necessity, and shoes are not very cheap these days, 500,000 rand, in fact, 1,500 rand. So if you have 50 pairs of shoes and at 1,000 rand, you've already spent 50,000 rand on shoes. I mean, let us look at just for walking. And then, what are the other aspects in this lifestyle or marketing strategy of shoes? That they will make the shoes, whether it's pointed for the men, or with the heels for the ladies. And for the ladies itself, I mean, it has been really proven, Maulana, that the heels, that the higher they are, it definitely in the future has a problem on their back, on their health. So we're buying things, we are paying for it, we cannot sometimes afford it just to live a style with the current fashion. We are damaging our health, and now it's going to cost us also now. That's what the whole problem today is, that thousands of rands are now being spent to have this operation for the back or for the spine or this aspect of the neck, etc. So one leads to other. So the lifestyle regarding clothing, Molana, we have to look at it on the basis of simplicity. As I said, I definitely will say, Molana, even the menfolk won't agree with me, but I am on the opinion that have a minimum number of shoes, have a minimum number of sandals, for example, on the clothing side, and you can use that by the color that you can use it to every type of dress. What is wrong? Is there anyone that you have to have the different color of matching each one? So that's where we will say with regard to maintaining the lifestyle. The other thing maybe we look at, Morana, as you mentioned, is cars. Now, I mean, a person's cars are so expensive today. And just because we have to maintain that there is a new car being marketed by the company and we have to get the new car or this type of car, the purpose of a car is, yes, we have to go, no doubt, we have to have a good car, maintain, nothing buying a new car. But do we have to buy in that range now that we borrow and then we're paying off that that money, it's over so many years on an interest which is completely prohibited in the Sharia, and then we require three, four cars, one is left and one is only left for the weekend, etc., or the particular type of a special car which we cannot afford. So just to maintain a lifestyle, and youngsters sometimes today, and even elderly people, have to have this extras that has to be there, which they cannot afford, but now they're all building up this financial crisis among themselves where they cannot afford to pay ultimately, and ultimately they lose. I remember was someone phoning me, one lady phoning me some time ago regarding they cannot pay the monthly installments with regard to their lifestyle. How many? They had two cars, they had two houses, they had some other things that I had to tell ultimately, but do you require these two expensive cars? Why don't buy a cheaper car? Pay off the car. Now they can't maintain the monthly installments, etc. So just because the English saying goes, Marana, is to keep up with the Joneses. Because, for example, this person has got, I have to have. My neighbor has got, I have to have. My friend has got, I have to have. Our simple life that we have to look at on the basis that we can afford it, we should spend within our limits of what we can afford. And not look at your neighbor or look at other people or the family to maintain that lifestyle.
Okay.
Or if you look at our weddings, Marana, the same thing happens in our lifestyle in our weddings. That because my friend has had called 2,000 people or 1,500, we have to call so many people. Because they have done this, and on the paraphernalia that takes place of the lifestyle with regard to the wedding is 20,000-30,000, and just for that day, then it's thrown away, money is wasted, and borrowed money, and definitely people are borrowing on interest just for that high lifestyle with regard to weddings that they have. So In different aspects, Maulana, we have to check our lifestyle, whether we can afford it or not. And even whether we can afford it, then we have to look at what the Sharia has given us limitations in our affordability also. So therefore, we have to very, very seriously think. And as times people are complaining, times are bad, times are hard. Let us look at our lifestyle also, another one, Maulana, in our eating habits. Yeah. That in our eating habits, what happens? Then now it's a common thing that over the weekends we will say that the stoves are closed, the kitchens are closed. I'm not saying that it's not permissible. There is no doubt if a person can afford it and within the Sharia there is permissibility on everything within the boundaries of Sharia. But now every weekend it's not a cheap thing. We have to spend 300-500 rands, three, four people. I remember one person told me that one weekend they went off and they just bought prawns and they paid 1600 rands just for four of them. Now, it's having an effect on our financial strength. Mm-hmm. And we cannot afford it. But now just to maintain, because of friends are doing, now this week is my turn, the other one is this turn, let us see which where we can make the best of it. So we have to check our lifestyle and see the repercussions of this on our financial position that happens in the future.
Jimalana, very, very interesting and very, very pertinent points that you are bringing about. You know, they say we buy things that we don't need to please people that we don't know with money that we don't even
Mashallah,
have.
MashaAllah, very well put, Malala. MashaAllah, I must write that down.
And it's very earth, Malala. We buy things, half the things we don't need. If you look at it, a person is buys gadgets, and half of those gadgets he doesn't even need. Half of those gadgets he doesn't even know how to use. You get a person today that the most common thing is the smartphone. Everybody has got a smartphone. And that smartphone has got 100 features. Of that 100 features, a guy knows how to use 3 or 4. The general man, you know. Maybe the youngsters, they might know a bit more of the phones and they play around with it, they fiddle with it, etc. But you know, many times you'll go to a man and tell him, no, just send it the message via this way. I say, well, the phone can actually do that. You can, yes, your phone can do that. And he gets a shock. Oh, I didn't know the phone can do that. And I tell him, you're paying for the phone. The phone obviously comes at a price. You're paying for all the services, but you don't even know that it can do it. And as we said, so we buy things that we don't need to please people that we don't know. Not even, you're going to a function, you're going for a wedding, you know two or three people there, the rest of the people you don't know. Okay, Mona, I think we're just going to have to stop there. I think there's a caller that has come through. Caller, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam. Firstly, I'd like to welcome Mulan Sattariya. I also enjoy this inter-exchange problem, a program, because you benefit a great deal from that.
Jazakallah.
And I'd like to ask Maulana, although this may be not the topic, but it's a pertinent thing. I want to know about, can you invest in gold, in share market, particularly in gold shares?
Okay, Jazakallah, we got your call. Jazakallah for calling, Maulana will respond.
Okay. Regarding the share market, yes, there's two opinions of the ulama. One say no and one say yes. But those that say yes, therefore if you're following the alif that says yes, there's nothing wrong in on that basis of investing in the share market. But there are certain conditions that you can invest on the share market. You can't invest in all the shares that are on the share market. The first condition that one has to look at is that whether that in company that you are investing in the share market, whether it is doing any halal trade or haram trade. So for example, if the person or if that company is a bank which is taking involved in interest transactions all the time, or if it's a liquor store, or if it is those that are in meat products selling maita, which is meat that is not slaughtered the halal way, then you cannot invest in any of those share markets or the shares of that company. So the importance is to see whether that shares are permissible or not. Then obviously there is another problem on the basis that the share market, the companies that they take interest, even if they are halal in their trading transactions, but some of the income that comes into that that business is haram. For example, they may have, say, 10% of their income coming from selling, say, liquor in the stores, like the certain companies do that, or taking interest where they put the money on call and get interest. So What then one has to do is, if they have invested in those few where more than 50% is from halal income, if they've invested in those companies, then at the end of the year, when they get those dividends from those companies, then they'll have to estimate what is the haram income that company has earned, like specifically from interest transaction where they've given, and that percentage which you can calculate from the financial statements of the company of the haram income, say specifically on interest, because the requirement of the legal requirement is you must show what's interest you receive separately, then you have to give that money away from the dividend income into charity or any other income that you come to know that company has earned, which is in haram sources, then the dividends, you cannot use all the dividends, you have to give it away into charity. The third thing that the current fuqaha have mentioned, that if the company is involved in taking interest or by investing the money in interest, although the main trading activity is from halal sources, then one should object to that activity, that haram activity of that company doing something that is haram, like taking interest. And where one's going to do that, that at the annual general meeting, the shareholders meeting, that they have to object and tell them that you're not, you shouldn't take interest. Obviously, it's a non-Muslim company, they're not going to listen to you. But as long as your objection has been lodged at some stage or the other with regard to the haram things that they have, that they are doing. So those are, they ask few other conditions, but depending on the type of company, but these are three minimum conditions where you can invest. As far as whether you can invest on the gold shares, yes, gold is something that's halal. You can buy and sell gold, so therefore there will be absolutely nothing wrong in buying the gold shares. And then obviously one must remember that in all these shares there is the zakat aspect also, that at the end of your zakat calculation you have to take the market value of the share at the date of you calculating zakat and pay your zakat at 2.5% of that value.
JazakAllah for that answer, Mulana. It was a very detailed answer. We hope the sister did get all of that information that Mulana shared with us. Mulana, as you have answered a question, before we continue with the discussion that we were having, I see there's another question that has come through via WhatsApp. The question reads, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Please advise in regard to my title deeds. They are still with the bank. Home loan is paid up. What is the procedure if I need to get the title deeds? And from an Islamic perspective, please advise.
Okay, first of all, we have to mention that if the title deeds are given to an institution where you've taken a loan on interest, then that is a sin, obviously, and one should make tawbah with regard to that. Alhamdulillah, we have some financial institutions that have Islamic packages of the, you know, buying or for the homes and things, and Islamic institutions also. So if that is the case, then that will not be the problem in those instances. But if you have taken this loan from a bank which charged you interest and you paid interest, then obviously you should make sincere tawbah, because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has even cursed the payer of the giving of the interest itself. And in fact, I would encourage all the listeners that are involved in this type of financial transactions of taking or borrowing on interest to buy a house or whatever other assets, that they should try and come out of this as quickly as possible, make istighfar and tawbah, and pay. You know, generally there will be a policy that, okay, the bank is only asking us 1,000 rand a month for the next 20 years, so we'll carry on paying 1,000 rand. In the meantime, the interest goes up all the time. In fact, a survey that has been taken that shows that if you take a bond on 20 years, then the amount that you pay is a minimum 3 times the original capital that you have taken. So if you've taken out 1 million rand, then after 20 years you have paid 3 million rand, which means 2 million rand you pay on interest. So therefore, one should try and immediately reduce this interest factor and pay extra. First of all, try and see if you can get a loan from some family members so that you can wipe out this bond very quickly, or pay much more on your monthly installments that you don't pay so much of interest and make sincere tawbah. And if there is a thing that you can get rid of the asset, then you should try that. So that will be the first advice. The second advice obviously is with regard to the question, yes, once you have paid the amount, then you approach the bank that you have to go and to cancel the bond. There will be a cancellation fee by the attorneys to cancel the bond, whatever the amount is, and that is a very simple thing. So ask the bank to cancel the bond and pay the fee, then the bond will be cancelled.
Okay, so that's clear for that, Mustaf. Well, Mustaf, carrying on with the discussion, before we kind of carry on with this, we would like to remind the listeners, if you have any queries, Marana is here, and Alhamdulillah, we'll be keeping it an open line, and you can ask your questions. You can phone in 011-854-1548, 011-854-1548. The SMS or WhatsApp number 083-379-4235. So Marana, as we were discussing the different ways in which people maintain their lifestyles, Marana gave you examples of clothing, cars, weddings, eating, etc. The one that I would also mention is housing, you know, the types of houses that we live in and the types of things that we want to fit into our house. Sometimes it is necessary, you know, you build a comfortable house, you can live comfortably in your house, then you don't have to go too much outside and worry about going too much outside. But sometimes we maybe spend a bit too much, and we know the hadith that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said regarding the building of houses and extending of houses and when it's not necessary, etc.
Just to comment on that, and maybe that's a very good point you brought about the houses, we didn't discuss that. Yes. Remind me, yes, unfortunately, to keep the houses, the lifestyle of others, unfortunately, we have gone overboard here also. I remember in the 1980s, Marana, that someone had mentioned to me that in one of the areas, the person put up a house and his wife wanted a special kitchen scheme, which was an AEG scheme, very expensive at that time. In fact, it was cost about 100,000 rands at that time, it's a lot of money. But what was happening subsequently? That it was just a show. Mm-hmm. She should use now the scullery where she had a stove, mm-hmm. and do all the cooking in the scullery. So the kitchen was not used at all. But the lifestyle demanded in the place that she was, that she had to have this type, as you're saying, in the houses or especially the kitchen that is there, that demanded that it must be this kitchen. But what is the benefit? You can't use it. You can't use that. Mm-hmm. So, yes, in the houses also, that we have to have this type of chandeliers or this type of things, and so this is definitely a problematic area.
Okay. So, as you were saying, you know, in today's time, we buy things that we don't need to please people that we don't know, with money that we don't have. That's the part that we're going to come to still, hopefully, if there is time in this program, you know, the part of credit and taking loans. We don't even have the money. We're going borrowing money. Just to sustain and just to maintain and just to live that certain lifestyle, as Manana said, you know, we need to keep up with the Joneses. So, Manana, you know, the clothing, what is very, very shocking is that a person goes and pays the full price for a brand new pair of jeans, and he comes home and he cuts it, makes holes in it, just because it suits lifestyle. And another man, bichara, poor man, his jeans is torn, he's worried about patching it up. And the other guy is buying a brand new jeans, 500, 600, 800, for one pair of jeans, and he's purposely cutting it just so that it can have a hole in there. And he still puts, on top of there, he writes extra change put in here. And, you know, all these funny things. We see the youngsters wearing it, and we see the youngsters doing it, and you know, the type of techies and the type of skippers and the hairstyles, Marana, you know, the hairstyles. Sometimes you wonder, that did this guy look in the mirror before he came outside? Okay, Marana, before we move on there, we have another caller. Caller, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, I think they cut the call. So, Marana, as you were saying, you know, in the clothing, it really makes you wonder that, you know, do these people really actually know what they're doing? And as Marana was speaking about the heels and the type of shoes that we wear, sometimes that lady goes to a function with this high heels, and, you know, Marana was saying later on, many years later, she's going to suffer from back pains and that. But sometimes that lady herself, she can't wait to get back home and get those, take those shoes off, and she'll tell you that, you know, there's nothing more comfortable than this 20-rand slipper that I bought.
Definitely.
So, as we're saying, you know, it's just the lifestyle. It's just that type of lifestyle. I remember it was, late, probably September, there was a girl in the class in Marissa, and this girl didn't come for 2-3 days to Marissa. And then I asked her, why didn't you come to Marissa? And she said, I went material shopping. I said, but so many days, plus you go in madrasa time, why don't you go in the morning? There's more time, you can do much more in the morning than in the afternoon madrasa time. And she said, Marana, you know, in the next month, the month of October, there's 4 wedding functions in my family. And it's a different outfit for each wedding. Because the one that's going to be at this wedding, they're part of the family, they might be at that wedding. I can't wear the same dress. So it's 4 different outfits. So, you know, going through the whole thing, then it's 4 different outfits, and are you going to wear that outfit again? Because a wedding outfit, you don't wear on it's not a casual outfit, you're not going to wear it again. When are you going to wear it again? How much you spent on it?
Well, I got a solution for that. four different outfits. I'm sure the ladies won't agree with me, but that today, if you follow the Sharia, and if you're going to a wedding, what is wrong in you at that particular time wearing the jilbab? The dress will be underneath, the same dress you can wear, you have bought, you know, whether it's 1 year old or it's proper, they're very good. And wear the ordinary jilbab. You don't have to show that what type of dress you have. In fact, Marana, this is an important thing also. Today we are complaining a lot about hasad. Mm-hmm. We complain a lot about nazar. Mm-hmm. Now, when does this happen? When we show off of what we have to do, and this, oh wow, you got a dress now, nazar is there. And after that we get sick, Al-Aynu Haqqun, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said, Nazar is hasad. And that's why, if very beautifully Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has mentioned in the second last surah of the Qur'an, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem, that we seek refuge from in shari hasidin is hasad. Mm-hmm. So from the person that makes, now why do people make hasad?
Mm-hmm.
That's why one of the du'as that ulama give to people today, when a person buys a new car or get a new house or something new, she said, may Allah save you from the hasad of the hasidin.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you have these things, a person definitely makes hasad because he doesn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
So you are also spiritually also losing out, besides what the people think, that people are going to make hasad. Now they're saying that you complain yourself that people are making a lot of hasad on you today, but you have been the means of people making hasad because you want to show off what you have to do.
Okay, definitely. So, you know, you're wearing a simple, normal cloak, simple, normal.
No one will look at it.
Somebody looks at it.
And the other part you mentioned, Mona, that they cut it on the jeans and, you know, the new style I've seen somewhere, even the new style of jeans that are with patches. Now, before, I mean, 10, 15, that if you had to tell anyone to wear something patch, no one would do it. Whereas Umar radiallahu ta'ala who conquered Jerusalem wearing patch clothing. Patch clothing is part of, there's nothing absolutely wrong. Now all of a sudden it came with fashion. So we want to follow the patch clothing. Otherwise we should have known that. But if you had looked at it on the basis that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself, the lifestyle of ours now, just at that particular time made that we said, okay, I'm wearing patch clothing because of the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this thing, the reward that we'll get. But now the fashion came about. All of a sudden, now we want to use the patch clothing.
JazakAllah for the Mujab. I see there's another question that has come through. The question reads, Assalamu alaikum. What advice can Maulana give a person who is an executor of an estate, instead of settling the deceased debts and paying out the other heirs, the inheritance uses such money to maintain a lavish lifestyle?
Obviously, that's not permissible, 100%. But in any case, the executor has got a responsibility that before even distributing the estate, the first charge after funeral expenses is the debt. So he doesn't even have to give the heirs that money. He must settle the debt first. It's compulsory to settle the debt. And then after that, give the heirs whatever the balance is. So he's got no choice. The executors have got no choice of settling the debt. That's what the whole charge is, first funeral expenses, then the debt, and obviously the wasiyat that comes after that. So the debt is the second charge in that estate. So you can't even give it for those people to maintain their lifestyle. He has to, in fact, compulsory to pay the debts.
JazakAllah for that, Mutazab. Yes, Mutazab, you know, the topics that we discussed in the ways that people maintain their lifestyle, we covered clothing, we covered the housing, we went into eating also, cars, weddings, etc. You know, in weddings, Mana, you know, it's so sad to see that people will spend. Okay, I think there's a caller that has come on board. Caller, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, we can hear you loud and clear, you can go ahead.
Maulana, I would like to just make a comment.
Jee.
For some light talk. That people are wearing patch clothes today.
Jee.
Thinking they'll conquer Palestine.
Okay, JazakAllah for that.
I think if a person has that intention, inshallah it will be fulfilled, really, if that intention is there. I mean, JazakAllah, brother, for that. But if the intention is there, with Umar radiallahu ta'ala conquering it at that stage, if you intend, Allah ta'ala, you know, Allah ta'ala says that I look at you with your intention, whatever, and Zanna Abdi, that whatever you think of me, so if the intention is good, maybe it's good.
As you know, ulama-i-kiram explained that the people in the time of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, the magicians, they had, okay, another caller on board. Caller, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam, Mawlana, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, Safaba.
Alhamdulillah, Mawlana, Shukriya.
Alhamdulillah, Rulana.
Mawlana, it's Dawood Mami. I hope the family is well.
Alhamdulillah.
I just want to say, Mawlana, I'd like to say, if people have sabr and shukr in their life and contentment, everything will go well. And Allah will be happy with all of us, inshallah. And whatever people think of what that one has, you don't have to worry. What we have, we must make shukr. Shukr, alhamdulillah, a million times. And Allah bless you all, reward you all for the most beautiful work you're doing on Radio Islam. That's my dua for all of you, inshallah, and your family. May Allah reward you here. And year after also give you the highest position.
Ameen, ameen.
Amin, amin. JazakAllah for the call, Appa.
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Two very important points that the Sister bring about. Sabr and shukr is something that is unfortunately absent in many of our lives.
Definitely.
Sabr and shukr. So, Maya, as you were saying, you know, the weddings that we have and the cars that we drive, you go to a wedding, the man has still not paid off the loan that he took to have his daughter's wedding and his daughter is back home. I mean, it's so sad.
And it's happening, not leave alone after time. Today, even it's happening before even the rukhsati also, or just on the wedding night also.
So, you know, basically it comes down to when we have strayed away from the Mubarak and the Sunnat and the simple, humble lifestyle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then we have done nothing else but incurred bigger problems on ourselves. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of understanding. One of the question now comes about discussing these different ways of lifestyle that people maintain and people love. Is it permissible as Muslims to maintain all types of lifestyles?
Well, a very important question, Marana. That because we are engrossed in this type of environment, we have been brainwashed to say that every lifestyle that we are getting, we have to keep up to that. But as we mentioned initially, that it is a simple lifestyle that we have to have. Simplicity doesn't mean that we have to now eat bread if you can afford it, and in simple food, you can afford a little expensive food. The Allah Ta'ala has given problems. But the basis has been very beautifully put in the Quran in Surah Bani Israel, where Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala says that إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ إِخْوَانُ الشَّيَاطِينَ وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانِ رَبِّي كَفُورًا. That Allah Ta'ala says very, very clearly, that, and do not squander recklessly, or do not be wasteful of your wealth. Surely, squandering a brother's to shaitan, and shaitan is very ungrateful to his Lord. Now, this is the usul, in principle, that we should always have in any spending that we have. That are we spending to such an extent that we are being wasteful or squandering our wealth? Is it
caller? Jima, is a caller that has come through. Caller, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Walaikum assalam, Mawlana. Mawlana, ask a question is about the. If you approach a person and you settle his debts, and he doesn't acknowledge that debt, in that case, what happens?
What do you mean he doesn't acknowledge the debt?
He doesn't accept it. No, you haven't settled my debt. But in actual fact, you've settled your debt. What happened in that case?
Okay. What was the agreement with him? How did you make the debt? Did you have anything written down?
No. You can only tell him that there's a debt that I've settled.
So you mean you
make any compromise with him?
No, did you have any initially when you took the loan or debt that he had? How did you come across it? You just took money from him, or was it some goods you bought?
You settled his debt.
No, I'm saying, how did you get the original debt on your head? Which way that you got the debt? Why you were owing him that money?
Assuming you're in somebody's business and you settled his debt.
Okay, right. So that means you bought goods from him? That's what you're saying, isn't it?
And no, his business was in debt.
Yes.
Okay, now you settle all those debts.
Yeah.
And then after a while you approach.
So are you the person in the same business you settle the debts?
Yes.
Right. So now in that business when you're settling the debts, you must have got proof somewhere along the line that what you bought from him to settle the debt.
No, I don't. You don't have anything in writing.
Why wasn't that done initially?
Well, it was, I was very young, you see.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I'm trying to get at.
Being immature and carried on, you know.
Right.
Because I had the responsibility of looking after my parents.
Right. That is...
Yes. I settle the debt. So what happens if he doesn't acknowledge it?
Right. You see, that's where, again, see, when we don't follow the Sharia principle again, and that's where we come to that, because in the Quran is very, very clear that when you incur a debt, then have it in writing. So that's what, but now that it's under waters, you have to, are you 100% sure that you, this is the debt that you are owing or from what you have there, when you took over from...
Yeah, but you don't have the amount, you see, but is there any way you can compromise?
Yes, you can compromise, there's absolutely no problem. Why don't you have the amount? It wasn't in the business when you took over from...
Well, there could be various debts, you know, someone's just pouring in and then, you know, you just took it up and just carry on, you see.
Yes, because the thing is that, you see, you can ask that person for proof.
See.
Even if it's you've taken away, listen, say, I'm not responsible for this debt because it's coming from the past, from my father or wherever it is.
Yeah.
Give me proof that I'm owing you this amount.
Yeah, but actually, if you sit down with a person and you explain him, and he still doesn't acknowledge it.
But then he must give you proof.
That you did settle his debt.
No, but he must give you proof that why he's asking for the extra amount.
I see.
He must give you proof.
Okay.
Because you see, according to the records that I have, this is the amount is outstanding. Anything extra now, I'm prepared to settle for this. You give me proof from your side why are you asking for this extra amount. If he doesn't give you proof, and if you've got from your side your proof that this is the amount outstanding.
Even verbal, Molana, like you explain him, look, these are the lawyers you've seen, and these were your debts that I have settled up.
Yeah.
To an attorney that did a collection. And so
yeah,
on.
Well, that's fine. So that won't be, you
that's
don't have
fine.
To pay anything because he's agreed already initially that this is the amount is being owed. Now he cannot come back and say that you have to pay him extra. Yes, okay,
no, you don't say the extra, but is there any way you can compromise? For the
yes, compromise is always there. Definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. You mean you pay a lesser amount? Yes, that you can do. But if he says no, then the full amount has to be paid. In any case, but now, although maybe you're not responsible personally, but if they're from the estate, then you have to sell the goods of the estate and pay their amount.
Okay.
Right. Okay, Jazakallah for that. Well, unfortunately, we have run out of time. You know, we've just got 3 minutes left, and unfortunately, we didn't take the middle ad break that needed to come in. That ad break still needs to go. Well, we do thank you in abundance for your time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you in abundance. And I think this discussion is still supposed to go on. Maybe Mulana can come in at another
Inshallah.
Time.
Inshallah. We're always available whenever the time is required, as long as there's no other commitments. Inshallah, whenever it is, with pleasure, Mulana. In fact, I must tell you, you did me a favor, or you all did me a favor calling me. I didn't do a favor. Because if you all didn't call me, we should have given the knowledge that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with.
Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of learning, practicing and propagating this Mubarak Deen. For that, we're going to conclude today's program. Jazakallah for those that have called in and those that have sent one to message that has come through. We will be back on this program next week. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.